The text for the evening is a very familiar text. Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 and following. In fact, I could probably start it, and many of you could at least closely paraphrase, if not quote, the verses here. It's part of the Sermon on the Mount, that collection in Matthew of moral and ethical teaching by Jesus. And it's about anxiety, worry, and what do we do when it looks like one of those days. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin, yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O men of little faith? Therefore do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. Therefore do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Let the day's own trouble be sufficient for the day." You'll find this particular month, in particular on Sunday mornings, just when I was thinking about September and praying about September, and at various times I was riding along the road and I'd either hear a song and it would trigger something, or I'd be just riding along, start humming a song and it would trigger something. So tonight and next Sunday morning and the next two Sunday mornings after that all have are built around at least ideas or themes out of songs. But it's not American Idol. And probably most of these songs, well, at least half of them, you wouldn't get past the first round on American Idol. But some time back I was riding along and listening to a singer that I listen to very often and that I've quoted a fair number of times. And a song came on, and it started. "Woke up just the other day, fell out of bed and my dog ran away. The car won't start and the weather was cold and gray. I got stuck in a traffic jam, a major meeting didn't go as I planned. Looks like it's gonna be another one of those days. But got a roof over my head, someone to love me in a four-poster bed, and I can play this here guitar. Gonna thank my lucky stars." You ever had those kind of days? Don't have a dog anymore. Got up one morning, found a dog dead, and went out and buried him because I knew that my two boys didn't need to bury their own dog. You ever fallen out of bed? Actually, not too long ago, I got up out of the bed, heard something, got up out of the bed at about 5:15, and I fell. I didn't fall out of the bed. I fell over church. Not church, but the cat named Church. And what woke me up was the ping pong balls he decided to play with and bat off the wall. So the ping pong balls get put up at night now, so they don't wake me up at 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. Car won't start. Have to tell you a little something. When we left the beach last Sunday, packed everything up, you couldn't get a toothpick in the trunk. The back seat was piled up. It's amazing how you go down with stuff and you come back with more stuff. Got in the car, ready to go check out. The car run just fine the day before. Stuck the key in the ignition. Click, 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 click. Click, 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 click. I was not happy. Fortunately, after we jumped off and after we got back, and I went by the place that I bought the battery, it was a 3-year free replacement, and I was 2 years and 3 months into the 3 years. So, caught a break there. But I'm sure, though, that probably I'm the only one that has those kind of days in here. Right? Nah, yeah, wrong. Of course not. We've all had at least one of those days. And maybe we've had many of those days, which might cause us to be overwhelmed with anxiety. And that's really what Jesus is talking about here, is becoming overwhelmed with worry and anxiety over things. In fact, sometimes we might even become paralyzed with worry and with fear. Stress, anxiety, fear. They're all causes of many bodily illnesses as well. We know that. Medical science tells us that. I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but I'll raise my hand. I take a low dose of blood pressure medicine. Heredity and stress. And a few of you are doing like this. Medical experts and pharmaceutical companies make mountains of money because of strings of those days and the effects they have on our lives. They come out with new medication. This one's better than that one. And then they come out, this one's better than that one. Because of the stress and the anxieties that we feel over some of those days. And you ever notice, generally, it's not the big things that really cause the most anxiety. It's the string of little things that pile up. So what do we learn from Jesus concerning those times when it looks like just another one of those days? And when, as I've said before, we wake up and instead of saying, "Good morning, Lord," we say, "Good Lord, it's morning." Well, unfortunately, with this particular passage, oftentimes we who are in this vocation over-spiritualize the passage. Sometimes some of us even use it as an escape from reality, looking beyond the reality of this life into the next life, the afterlife. And just think, you're bearing that cross now, but boy, it's going to get you an extra star or a larger mansion in heaven. We try to ignore the reality that this world just may not be the most pleasant of places all the time. Unfortunately, we find that out more and more these days. And if we don't find it out in our own lives, in our own neighborhoods, all we got to do is turn on the TV. Some people chalk it up to God's will in order to get around the questions that arise. Why did that young person or those two young people die the other night or the other afternoon in that accident? I stood there with one of the families that evening. Got called down there about 6:30. Stood there with one of the families, and I told them, I said, "I don't understand. All we can ask is for understanding and guidance through all of this." And we had talked a little bit and had some prayer, and then the grandmother of the young woman came in, and I stood there and listened to her telling her daughter, "There's nothing we could have done differently. It was God's will that today she die." And I kind of wondered. Did find out later that my suspicion was correct. She's from a church that believes very heavily in predestination, and she did because she said, honey, God destined the minute, the day, the hour of her death, and nothing we could do could change it. And so some people use that. The unfortunate thing in my mind, and that a dollar gets you a drink machine, is that that young mother is, I found out in conversations with other family members, that young mother and that young father whose daughter died haven't darkened the door of a church in a long time, and they're kind of iffy in their belief and faith anyway. And she did say, I thought God was good. I guess He's not so good after all, taking my daughter. But some people do that rather than struggle with the anxieties and the fears and the questions, because our world is not the most pleasant place all the time. Or we say, why is cancer struck? Or why did the company downsize just before Christmas? You ever notice how a lot of those companies that have downsized in the last several years wait until between Thanksgiving and Christmas? Or why do some people find joy and contentment in creating and stirring up trouble all the time? It must be God's will. So don't question, just blindly accept, turn your eyes the other way and go on, because it'll all be okay. But what happens then is that anxiety goes deeper inside, and it sits there and it stirs. And sometimes it chokes out much of the spirit that could have been uplifted even in the difficult days. And unfortunately, many of we who are in the particular vocation of professional ministry feed that. But so do others. And so that's one of the ways that this particular passage and this idea is over-spiritualized and sometimes misused, I think. Now, while Jesus talks here about being overly anxious, he does recognize that anxiety about the present, though, is a normal human response. It's not something that is abnormal, but it's something through which God can help us if we will but allow God to do so. And if we think on just who God is and what God does. Theologian Dr. Charles Bauman writes in his book, Sermon on the Mount, The Modern Quest for Its Meaning, judging from its content, we conclude that the Sermon on the Mount is evidently not addressed to the best of all possible worlds, but rather to a world in which there were very deep personal and spiritual needs. The words of Jesus address a world where there is unreconciled anger and litigation, adultery and divorce, where speech has lost its integrity, where there is persecution and retaliation, where coats are stolen and cheeks are slapped, where hatred of enemies is sanctioned, where hypocrisy parades in the guise of piety, where people trespass against each other and against God, where thieves break in and steal, where there is danger of the whole body being full of darkness, where people are preoccupied with material cares and are anxious about the future, where they condemn each other and profane what is holy. Surely it is unrealistic to assume that the Sermon on the Mount applies only to an otherworldly or monastic ideal, where these conditions really don't apply. But you know something? Jesus' words didn't just apply to that kind of world back then. I don't know if you noticed or not, but every one of those things that I read apply to our world today. And the Sermon on the Mount then is really meant to be a reality check for us and give us a way to go beyond the darkness that we might see in this world and find our way toward God's light. Rather, Jesus addresses situations that persons and even His followers face and will face in this life. In other words, Jesus addresses when it seems like just another one of those days. Now, when He talks here about anxiety, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on." The word He uses, the Greek term, marimnao, refers to an anxiety that overly affects one's mind and subsequently affects one's body. It's an anxiety that means we are so self-concerned about our necessities that we might become unhinged. It's a similar word when Paul talks later to the Thessalonians in 2 Thessalonians and says, "Be careful." They're worried because they've gotten a letter with Paul's name on it that says second coming might have already happened, and if you're still around, guess what? You missed it. Ha ha ha. And some of the people are becoming unhinged. He says, "Do not become mentally unstable by word or deed or letter supposedly from us." And it's the same concept of that stress and that anxiety and that fear that unhinges our minds and subsequently unhinges our spirits. It not only leads to mental worry, but causes us sometimes to act overtly and carelessly in seeking to secure our own wants and needs to the exclusion of others. Yet Jesus is not prohibiting forethought and planning. In fact, He knows that all things, even our planning, will only be productive if faith in God is the motivating force. He knows that the only way we can be productive is to recognize and react to God's call on our lives. And that's the only way that we can get through one of those days. Because what's He talking about here? Being worried about food and clothing and shelter and the basic necessities. Being worried about the call won't start. My major meeting didn't go as I planned. Got in the car, got halfway to the meeting and spilled coffee out of one of those mugs that's got a lid on it and it's not supposed to spill. I've done that on the way here before, spilled coffee. Unfortunately, I look down and say, "Okay, the pants I'm wearing today are brown. The coffee is brown. It'll work out." But He insists that we not allow those days to make us so anxious that we become unhinged. Jesus says, in this world, in this real world where there are real problems, real anxieties, real concerns, God has given us something even more. God has given us life. A greater gift than mere food and clothing. And God has given us the assurance that He will help us in life. Much greater than mere food and clothing. God is able to take care of our needs even when we face one of those days. Instead, we are to seek God in thankfulness, more than just thanking our lucky stars, but being thankful for God's provision of shelter, of love, of the gifts He has given us to share with others and through which to share His grace. In fact, Jesus uses examples from nature here. We all know that. But the examples given point to the fact that God provides the time and the place and the opportunity for birds to eat. God provides the time and the place and the opportunity for plants to grow. And if God provides those for such things as birds and plants, God will do the same for us. But, he says, in some ways he's kind of, I think Jesus is kind of being a little bit coy here too. He says, you all worry and worry and worry about how you're going to get it. You're supposed to be smarter than the birds, but the birds, don't worry about it. They go looking for the opportunity that God provides. And then they use that opportunity. The birds don't worry about it. And God provides for them. God provides for you, but you still worry about it. In fact, he indicates here that being overly anxious... I don't mean we get worried occasionally. Somebody gets sick, really sick, and we get worried. But being overly anxious actually shows a lack of faith in God. Or a weak faith in God. A lack of confidence in what God has provided and can provide for us. Both in supplying our needs and in giving us talents. Talents which we need to use. And not using them shows a lack of confidence in God as well. Ben Witherington writes, it's really a way of saying, I don't trust you, God, to take care of things. And that's what Jesus says here. In verse 30, and he says, but if God so clothes the grass of the field. And he goes from talking about these beautiful lilies, and he said, one day they're just going to dry up and be mere grass. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive, tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Jesus doesn't say that we can completely... It's a mosquito. Jesus doesn't say that we can completely avoid worry and anxiety. He recognizes that that is a part of our human nature. But Jesus says, if we cultivate a strong faith in God and truly trust in God, then even in our worry, we will not be paralyzed and frozen. Our minds will not become unhinged. And perhaps we might even be as smart as the birds who seek out God's provision. So once again, how are we to face when it's another one of those days? Jesus says in Matthew 6:33, but seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well. He doesn't say, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all your desires will be fulfilled. Some people think that. Still remember, and I think I've told you all the example before, of four or five former students at a college at which I taught before, who I saw, they helped to start a church that's still going on the that side, up on the Gurr side of Greenville. And where one day I saw a commercial on TV, and one of them was who was the pastor of the church was standing there and pointing to the sign at that church and said, you know, come join us at such and such church. Join our fellowship. Do you need a new job? Do you need more money? Do you need a new car? Well, come and join us and we'll teach you how to pray to God and get from Him the things that you desire. That's not what Jesus said. What Jesus said was, all these things will be added to you as well. And what is He talking about, these things? These things are the necessities of life. The talents, the gifts, food, shelter, love. Only if our desire is a thankful, productive, growing relationship with God and other Christians can we truly find our way out of anxiety, even when it's another one of those days, into God's grace. Seek, by the way, is in the Greek tense, the continual present. It doesn't mean seek it once and that's it. But it's in the present that carries with it the idea of into the immediate future. Continually seek in the present. In today's world, don't seek it way out there in the future. Look for it today. Seek the ultimate life journey. First, above all else, the word protos in Greek means first or above all. Seek first or seek above all. Seek God and your place in His kingdom. And God will give you the necessities for life. Shelter, love, talents, and gifts. If God provides our prime objective in life and the other things we need, then we should not overly worry about another one of those days. The other day ran across something that Gloria Gaither said. It was on a little flip calendar that we've got at home. And I think that this fits here. She said, you know, we need to remember that God walks with us. Sometimes He scoops us up in His arms or simply sits with us in silent strength until we cannot avoid the awesome recognition that, yes, even now, God is there. When we face another one of those days, we need to remember that sometimes God scoops us up. Sometimes God sits there with us in silence. But in that silence is strength. Until we cannot avoid recognizing that God is there. And when we seek Him first, we will find that, yeah, there's enough out there for us, even on one of those days. But we will find that the grace of God is available to get us through. And when we do, we can thank our lucky star, that is God, when it looks like another one of those days. I hope that your day tomorrow is not another one of those days. But if it is, remember to sit or to walk or to move forward with the strength of God, recognizing that sometimes the birds are smarter than we are. But also recognizing that God intends for us to live long and prosper in His grace and in His glory, even through another one of those days. God bless you. Go in peace and find His strength. Amen.